This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
A cattle farm in Tappan, North Dakota, has experienced a series of highly strange events over the past year. First, there was a dead cow that coyotes would not touch. Then 16-year-old teenager Evan Breeze was checking cows ready to calve and encountered a triangle-shaped craft near a dugout water pond. The craft emitted blue beams of light and took off rapidly after Evan's cattle dog ran toward it, barking. Afterward, the family found an odd pattern cut into the dead cow's hide that had not been there before. Later, the father and other family members watched strange aerial lights move in patterns over the farm on two different occasions in July and August 2006. Then, on September 11th, around 1 a.m., Evan went to check the pig corral with his .22 and encountered non-human entities with sharp-bladed fingers dragging a dead sow. After Evan shot at one creature about 12 feet from him, Evan was grabbed from behind. He collapsed unconscious to the ground. When he woke up, the Adidas t-shirt he was wearing had 5 slices in it. There were 2 faint scratches on his chest that did not bleed. After that, a neighbor's buck sheep was found dead with 1 testicle cut neatly without blood from the scrotum sac. And finally, on December 5th, a buck boar on the Breeze farm disappeared. Where has all this happened? About 60 miles straight east of Bismarck, North Dakota. It's the small farming community of Tappan in Kidder County. From a USGS Terra Server satellite, Tappan's farmland looks like a child's game board because crops are planted in circles to make sprinkler irrigation easier. There have been many unusual animal deaths and disappearances in the region. Not far to the northeast is the Chase Lake National Wildlife Refuge, where 29,000 American white pelicans disappeared in May of 2004. The next spring in 2005, 8,000 white pelican baby chicks mysteriously died. Further south of Chase Lake is the Ressler Waterfowl Protection Area. For 6 straight years, between 1999 to 2004, thousands of gulls and cormorants mysteriously died at Ressler Lake. Farmers in Tappan, with a current population of about 200, have also been challenged by mysterious deaths and disappearances of livestock. One of those families is Myra and Tori Breeze, both in their late 40s. They have lived in Tappan all their life. Their 5 children are Tessa, 23, Trista, 20, Evan, 16, Tia, 11, and Marshall, 3. The Breeze farm has 1,200 acres and 100 head of cattle, the family's main source of income. For fun, 16-year-old Evan Breeze and his 11-year-old sister Tia have raised 6 hogs in a corral not far from the house. A half mile beyond the pig corral, Tori Breeze found one of his cattle dead in October 2005, just over a small embankment at the edge of a dugout water pond. Tori admits he did not examine the dead cow closely at the time, but realized a few months later, on April 6, 2006, that coyotes and other predators had not touched that carcass.
They never ate on her. That is something that I just don't understand. In fact, I can tell you, up the gully from where that dead cow is, I had lost a big sucking calf, about a 900-pounder. I had some creep feed up there, and they overate, and one bloated. And the coyotes devoured that thing in about 5 days. It was gone. Just a little bit of hide and a couple bones. That's it. So that's the contrast. These two critters were that close together. That cow was never bothered, but this other calf was eaten within a matter of a few days.
The reason Tori Breeze paid attention to that long dead cow on April 6, 2006, was that something very strange entered the Breeze farm near the water pond on the other side of a small embankment about 30 feet from the dead cow. Afterward, as Tori and his family explored the land around the water pond, Tori found a large disc-shaped symbol etched on the dead cow's hide next to 2 triangular punctures. The disc was overlaid by 6 lines. The odd pattern had been created by cutting away the sun-bleached surface hair to expose the deeper, blacker part of the hair. But far more bizarre than the odd symbol and triangular punctures on the long-dead cow is what 16-year-old Evan Breeze saw near the water pond at 12:30 a.m. on April 6, 2006. Evan had left the farmhouse around midnight to go check the cows that were ready to calve. With him was his cattle dog, Buster. The cows seemed fine, and Evan and Buster were heading back to the farmhouse when Evan saw a light flash that seemed to curve over a hill to the east of them. He started walking toward the pond and said he could see blue beams flashing repeatedly. As Evan reached the top of a hill, he was looking down on a wedge-shaped craft at the far end of the water pond, about 140 yards away. Shining from large ovals in the side of the object was blue light.
Just as I was reaching the top of the hill where there's an embankment down to the dugout, got to the top of it and I seen that UFO sitting by the dugout. Looked triangular shaped to me and had like oval-shaped lights on it that were real pale blue, the beam was. And, you know, they were real big from what I could see. And it looked like they could bend over hills. When they would shine over them embankments down there, it looked like they could bend right over them.
And it was as if they were looking for something?
Yep.
How big do you think this triangle was?
About 40 feet long, I suppose.
And how wide do you think the triangle was?
Probably about 20 feet.
So it was about half as wide as it was long?
Yeah.
How high would it be from the ground up?
Probably 6-7 feet.
It was pretty narrow from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, it was real low profile, yeah. Then we just sat there and looked at it, probably 30 seconds, something like that. Even he was in shock, you know.
Even your dog was in shock.
Yeah, if it was something that he knew what it was, like he knows vehicles and all that stuff. So he would have ran up to it right away, you know, and tried to have been its buddy, but he even sat and looked at it with me.
Did he whine or shiver or anything?
Uh-uh. Because after that certain amount of time we looked at it, he shot down there after it.
As your dog starts running toward this triangular vehicle, what happened?
I just sat and watched it till finally I seen him kind of see off the glow that I could see him running down there, and then pretty soon he started barking and it took off. It was out of there.
And when it took off, did it make noise? What happened?
Completely silent. Not a sound.
That must have been eerie.
Yeah, it was strange.
As it took off, did it take off slowly first and then speed up or what?
It just kept a certain speed until it went all the way up and then I couldn't see it no more.
After it zipped away, what did you and Buster do?
We ran back home and came in and woke Mom and Dad up, told them what it was.
The craft that he seen sitting there was sitting between the banks on the east side, on the far side of the water. And that craft was sitting on the same side that the dead cow carcass is.
So whatever was in that triangular craft that sat down at the water hole might have made this calling card, so to speak, in the hide of an already dead cow.
Right. Could very well have. And, you know, all my neighbors are cattlemen have looked at it. They couldn't determine when this had been put on the cow. I know it wasn't on the cow last fall. So it had to have gotten on after the hair fading of the hair because it was a black Angus cow. Well, the reason the black hair is there is because whatever put this mark on there cut away the bleached hair. Whatever etched that on there, cut it on there, whatever word you want to use, done it a long time after this cow had died.
Where Evan thought the point of the triangular craft was, the Breeze family found a round indentation in the grass. Where the wider end of the triangular craft would have been, the family thought there also were two more indentations in the grass, but fainter. Their speculation is that the grass indentations were made by the weight of the craft on some kind of round landing pods. 4 months later, on July 20th, 2006, around 11 p.m., Torrey was helping one of his neighbors whose car was being repaired. The two men were headed to pick up the car when they both saw a blue light in the night sky. The blue light was making an L-shaped pattern, as if searching for something. Torrey would stop the car to watch more carefully. At the same time, the blue light would stop instantly. When he moved the car, the light would move very rapidly. For more than a half hour, Torrey repeatedly stopped and moved the car, and the light would react by stopping instantly and moving rapidly as well. Eventually, the blue light took off rapidly. Torrey said that he wondered, could that blue light be the same craft that sat down near the waterhole in April? Then, in August, about 2.5 miles northeast of the farmhouse, Torrey was moving cattle out of his bull pasture. Myra and the kids were about 1 mile away. Torrey was on his motorcycle that had a broken headlight, so there was no light on the ground. But suddenly in the sky, lights appeared that moved around in odd searching patterns for at least 1 hour.
I got to the crest of the hill, and I looked southeast, and there in the gullies, I seen some real bright lights. They weren't a blue light, they weren't a green light, they were just a light. They were very bright, more like a car headlight or something like that. I stopped the bike and sat there and watched, and it was totally silent, but there was like tens of lights, not 2 lights or 3 lights, a bunch of them. And then I started the bike and came down so I could move the cattle into that gate. As I got down there by the gate with the bike, one of these lights came our direction. I started getting a little bit concerned because it started illuminating the pasture to the south of us like almost daylight. It illuminated acres, you know, like 30, 40 acres. Well, these things would come at us, you know, they were ways off. They were about 2 miles away. And then all of a sudden they would divide into like three. And they would go kind of, well, if you took an intersection sign and you drew a straight, one going down the middle and two branching off to the side. And then they'd go down into the gullies and then you'd see one for a while and then it would come up. And the other side would do the same. And that they did this pattern over and over.
Whatever they were doing, that it was sort of like a searching operation?
Yes, it was looking like they were looking for something.
And Myra and Tessa and Evan, did they have any reaction themselves?
They were scared, but yet they were curious. They wanted to watch it.
Around 1:20 a.m., according to the kitchen clock, on Monday, September 11th, 2006, Evan Breeze woke up to go to the bathroom and get a drink of water from the kitchen sink. The window over the sink looks out to the big corral in front of the barn. The moon was shining and the yard lights were on, and Evan said amid the shadows he could see a couple of things going across the corral. His first thought was coyotes or deer going after feed at the pig corral next to the barn. So Evan got dressed, went to the equipment shed to get a gun, and headed for the corral.
Grabbed my .22 and walked up there, and I could hear the pigs, one of the pigs, riled up. And I started walking up there, and pretty soon it was just dead silence.
And what made you take the .22?
So I was going to go up there and shoot and scare out whatever it was.
What exactly were you seeing with your hog?
They were messing around with her.
What were they doing, and what did they look like?
Fairly tall, dark, you know, from what I could see, because they were pretty much had shadows cast on them. And real skinny looking, and had these big hands on them. I couldn't see what their feet looked like.
Did you have a flashlight?
No. Well, we got a big yard light in our yard here. You know, it shines all the way pretty much around the yard and up in the corral a little ways. So I could kind of see them in a way. Because when I go up there to feed my pigs at night, I could kind of see them.
What did the hands look like?
Just long, with those claws on them.
What did the claws look like?
Like hooks.
Like curved hooks or long blades?
Kind of like combination of both, really. Like hooks and combined in a blade. Whatever they were made to really do some tearing, you know, or cutting.
Can you now remember anything you specifically saw these entities doing with your pig?
I think she was dead at the moment. I didn't see when they killed her. Just seen when they were kind of moving her around.
Were they moving her around with a piece of equipment or dragging her or what?
They were obviously using them claws in their hands. I think they were hooking her and kind of pulling her. And I walked up to the gate. I don't know what drove me to do it, but I jumped in there right away and shot one of them. And kind of hopped around and made this funny noise and just a weird screech.
Was it high-pitched, low-pitched?
It was fairly high-pitched, but not extremely high-pitched. It was a mixture between high-pitched, low-pitched. It was just a strange sound.
And was it like a scream or something else?
Like kind of a holler, kind of, but a kind of a high-pitched holler.
Mm-hmm.
Like not like us humans holler when we get hurt. It was strange.
What happened before you shot? Did you have eye contact? Did they look at you? What happened?
After I shot, they looked at me.
Okay, so you're standing how far from them?
Probably 10, 15 feet from the closest one.
Were their backs to you?
Well, there was one bent over the pig, kind of screwing around with her, and then there was another one that came up and was kind of helping him. The one that came up had his shoulder towards me. The one that was fiddling around with her first had his back towards me.
Which one did you shoot?
I shot the one that was standing closest to the fence, which would be the one who had his shoulder to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I walked in there, they both kind of got startled and knew I was there, and I shot the one from the side. I know I hit him because he made that noise.
What happened next to that being? What did he do?
Walked around, kind of hopped around, because he was obviously in pain.
Did the other one with the pig try to do anything?
No, but they both looked at me, the other two. There was two more standing there. They looked at me.
Where were they?
They were fairly close to me.
So there were at least four that you could see in front of you?
I think so. You know, I can just kind of remember just bits and pieces. I can't even remember the whole thing.
Were they all the same height?
From what I remember, it didn't look like it.
What do you remember in terms of the heights?
I can just remember tall, probably close to 6'9".
It sounds, though, that one was maybe about 7 feet tall, and the others you think might have been shorter?
I think so, yeah.
Did you have any impression that the tall entity or the others had on anything that we would call clothing?
It was shiny, from what I can vaguely remember.
Shiny. On the one dragging the pig, or both of those two, or what?
On the one that I seen that I can just vaguely remember, and I don't remember which one it was.
The surface seemed to be shining.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And so the issue would be if it had on some kind of armor that was shiny, or if that was the nature of whatever they were.
Or whatever they were wearing, yeah.
Is the number 5 from the hypnosis session relate to whatever came up behind you?
I would think so, yeah.
Do you remember temperature, smell, anything from behind or around you?
It was felt hot. I think I can remember I was sweating because I was getting so riled up.
Do you remember pressure on you anywhere from whatever came up behind you?
Over my shoulder and on my front.
As if somebody or something put their arm around and grabbed a hold of your chest?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything in your head, like a thought or anything?
No, I don't.
Anything weird to your body before you went unconscious?
I don't remember feeling anything.
What is your very next memory?
Just running back to my sister and her fiancé's house and a headache.
Your dad said it was a pretty bad headache?
From what I can remember, it was a pretty brutal headache.
He said you described it felt like your brain was now bigger than your skull?
Yeah. I think I said 2 sizes too big for my skull or something like that.
A lot of pressure against your skull.
Just completely hurt.
What are the events that happened after that?
They called my dad and came over here, and we called the sheriff, and the sheriff came out and looked, had a look around and told us he'd come back in the morning.
Did he look for tracks, destruction of anything in the corral? Did he look?
He didn't want to go in the trees to check anything out, in the trees that were behind the fence.
The sheriff was a little upset himself, huh?
Yeah, he was a little afraid, I'm sure, yeah.
Now, what about the corral? I think your dad said that there were some aluminum panels that were missing.
Knocked down, yeah.
Have any idea how that happened?
Nope. I think it was them, though.
These creatures?
Yeah.
But you didn't see them doing anything to the corral when you were going in there?
Uh-uh.
So whatever happened, it might have happened after or before?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Any sound besides the sound that that being made when you shot it with the .22?
No, because I don't think they were tapping into my head.
And the pig was definitely dead on the ground?
Oh, definitely. If she was alive, they wouldn't have let her touch her like that.
How old was that pig?
I think she was 2.
Was she yours or your sister's?
She was my little sister's.
Anything about the pig that these entities killed that was a different breed, a different bloodline, anything special about it?
The only thing different about her compared to the other ones is that she wasn't as feisty. She was a very docile pig. She didn't really fight. She never gave me any trouble. I mean, even when I'd be chasing her, she wouldn't get hostile with me or nothing. She was a real docile pig. It wouldn't be very hard to take advantage of her to kill her.
What happened to your sweatshirt?
I think it grabbed me by my t-shirt because I had a pretty baggy t-shirt on.
This would be the entity that grabbed you from behind?
I think, yeah.
And what does the t-shirt look like?
It was that black Adidas one.
And what does it look like today?
Something grabbed my t-shirt and swung me down.
How many tears? What happened?
I think there was probably about 5 tears in it, like fingers. They were all placed just like a big hand. Thumb on top, obviously, because whatever was grabbing from the back. Rest of the fingers towards the bottom.
And so the print of one of these hands actually tore the front of your T-shirt.
Yeah, because they had them hooks on their fingers.
Did you have any scratches on your chest?
Actually, I had just a little one on my chest. Just a very small one, which surprised me because you'd think I'd have had more than that, you know?
Right. How could those curved, blade-like ends of those hands on the creature grab you at your chest, cause 5 cuts in your T-shirt, and not hurt you at all?
I just had one on the top where it must have been the thumb that grabbed me, and that was about it.
Is that scarred or still there?
It healed up already.
So most likely you were just allowed to collapse there onto the ground and they left.
They obviously didn't really want me or something, because they left me there.
When you became conscious, was the first thing in your mind to look for the creatures in your pig?
First thing was to get out of there.
Did you know then that your dead pig was gone?
I didn't know right away, no. Not until it went up there and looked. But I kind of figured so after a while because they were screwing around with it.
So it went from your seeing, shooting, the sound, the arm around you, going unconscious, waking up, going to your sisters, and returning eventually later with your family?
Yeah.
And that's when everybody discovered that the sow was missing?
Yeah.
And it's never turned up?
Nope.
When you think about all of this, and these really strange, thin creatures that aren't human, what do you wonder about?
I don't have an explanation.
Do you assume, though, that they're from someplace in outer space?
I don't know exactly where they're from. I know it definitely wasn't people, but I don't know where they're from, you know?
When you think about what upsets you the most, what part upsets you the most?
That they were here, and what did they put that pig through? The fact that I couldn't save that pig and I couldn't get any of them.
I can understand that feeling. They were pets for you and your sisters.
Well, they were just like a cat or a dog, just as smart and just as close. I'd go up there and feed them twice a day and scratch them all the time. And, you know, pigs are not stupid. They're smart. They're supposed to be smarter than dogs, you know. Yeah, they were just like pets. They were my best buddies.
6 weeks later, on Tuesday, October 24th, 2006, a neighbor within 10 miles of the Breeze farm was stunned to find dead his prize sheep buck used for breeding. He said the buck and all his sheep were fine the night before when he checked on them, but the next morning the sheep buck was dead without signs of struggle or tracks around his body. There was no blood anywhere. The death was so puzzling that the neighbor took his dead sheep to the veterinarian for a necropsy. The vet opened the animal up and could not find anything wrong with the lungs, heart, or stomach. But that's when the vet discovered that one testicle had been removed. A precise cut had been made on the bottom of the scrotum, and one testicle had been pulled out and excised straight across surgically. Official cause of death? Unexplained. Finally, on December 5th, 2006, the big boar pig in the Breeze Pig Corral disappeared. The family searched for a long time, but the boar has never returned. The kids started with 6 pigs, but now all that's left is 1 adult sow and 3 young pigs. Back on September 16th, 2006, Evan Breeze agreed to do hypnosis with Minnesota hypnotherapist Craig R. Lang to see if he could remember more details about his encounter with the non-human entities in the pig corral. A couple of important details emerged. Here is a brief excerpt in which the 4 entities seem afraid of Evan after he shot one, but then Evan is grabbed from behind.
And there's 4 black, tall, skinny things standing in there. 2 of them are dragging my pig to the other 2. She's lifeless. And I'm jumping over the edge of the pen, and I run up and I fire a shot into one. And it hurts and he's limping around. They're all staring at me in fear. They're scared.
Where are you right now?
Standing in front of them looking at them. And they're kind of telling me that they don't want anything to do with me.
What else do you notice?
The other ones are standing looking at me in fear still. They're standing back because they're telling me they're not here to fight with me.
What language are they speaking?
not speaking any language.
Okay.
They're using kind of bowing, kind of. They don't really have a voice. Something's reaching up from around me, coming around my right side, grabbed me by the shirt. It's holding onto my shirt the whole way down, and its hands are big and sharp.
When I heard Evan say that the non-human entities bowed and kneeled to him, I thought of another hypnosis session in July 1984. I was investigating a human abduction case that had occurred the week before Thanksgiving of 1980. A husband and wife had been driving north of Denver, Colorado, when suddenly a blue light surrounded them in their car and they lost about an hour of time. In separate hypnosis sessions with social scientist, hypnotherapist, and UFO researcher Richard Sigismund, each told what happened aboard an egg-shaped craft in which there was one tall, handsome being in a sparkling blue garment. There was at least one other shorter, gray entity that neither man nor woman liked. The wife also saw many red-hooded, smaller figures. After a vaginal and breast exam by metal-like tentacles, the woman was furious and screaming obscenities at the non-humans. Later, in a discussion after hypnosis, the wife said that the tall being, quote, perceived my anger and said, "We didn't mean to hurt you. Something like it was for a good purpose." And I said, "Nobody asked me. And something about means don't necessarily justify the end." And he said, "Perhaps." Then she thought the tall being took her into a room where, quote, "These people all have their heads bowed at me. And I'm thinking, he's trying to make me feel good, and I'm not necessarily going to buy it," unquote.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.